Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Nun Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin from the last two words of Daf Nun Amud Beis. Omar Rabba, my taima the Rabbon Gamliel. Here we're at the top of Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. What is the reason for the shita of Rabbon Gamliel, who had mentioned ein get achar get, the ein mimer achar mimer, that after the Yovam gives the first get to one of the widows, the second get, the second divorce document that he gives to the second widow, doesn't have any halachic effect. In other words, the relatives of the second widow, let's take her sister for example, will not be considered achus grushoso, the sister of one whom he divorced. The second get taking no effect. Likewise, the second widow who receives mimer after he gave money, after the surviving brother gave the second widow money after having given the first widow money, that second giving of money does not take any effect. So the question right now is, why is it that the second act in either a get following a get or mimer following mimer does not have any effect in creating any isur, any prohibition regarding the relatives of the second widow? We should note, by the way, that we are continuing. You can see the triangle marking is a continuation of the series of questions that we had seen in our previous shiur that we featured on Daf Nun Amud Beis. So the Gemara answers, why does Rabbi Gamliel have this approach? The Mesafkale, he has a doubt. He's not sure of the power of these institutions. Get, he is in doubt whether I dochi, I lo dochi. Does it push away, does it cast away, or does it not? Mimer, I koni, I lo koni. And the Gemara will explain these two points. You can see that we've labeled them Aleph and Beis, and now the Gemara goes over these points. Does the second point being, Mimer, does it acquire or not? Now the Gemara explains. Get, I dochi, I lo dochi. When a get is given to a Yevoma, what effect does that have? I kama dochi, if it's effective in pushing away the first widow, making it such that you can't marry her in Yibum anymore. So then, if the first get is effective in pushing her away, so Basra my coffee. So the second get, the get given to the second woman, what effect could that possibly have? In other words, once the Yevoma is pushed away and there's no more Yibum, so the giving of the get to the second woman would have no effect. I kama lo dochi, if the first one is ineffective in pushing away, so then basronami lo dochi, the get given to the second widow also is not going to push away. Again, no effectiveness. Now we look at mimer. Mimer I koni, I lo koni. I kama koni, if the first widow is acquired in a yibum sense by the money that was given to her, basra my kovid. So the money given to the second woman would have no effect, because once you acquire the yevama, you have in effect fulfilled the mitzvah and there is nothing more to be done. So the money given to the second widow would have no import. V'i kama lo dochi basra nami. Let's read that again. V'i kama lo koni. If the first one is ineffective as a means of acquiring, then basra nami lo koni. The second one isn't going to be any stronger. It too will have no effect, no strength in acquiring. We should note another marking that we didn't, that you notice there are diamonds that appear to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. And on the side, we had noted the notes under the Nosei, Mivneh heading, the topic heading, and structural note. 1 and 2 represent Hesberim Shel Rova V'Abaye B'Rabban Gamliel D'Ein Get Achar Get. These are two explanations, one of Rova and later of Abaye within Rabban Gamliel. So we've seen now Rava's explanation of Rabban Gamliel, why the second one, whether it's the get following a get, or Maimer following Maimer, is ineffective. Esvei Abaye. Abaye now raises a question. Take note of the fact that the question lasts a number of lines. Umoide Rabban Gamliel, Shiyesh get achar Maimer. Umaimer achar get. That when Maimer is done, let's say Reuven and Shimon were brothers. Shimon is a surviving brother after Reuven died, leaving no children, but Reuven did leave two widows. And Shimon gives a get to one of the widows, and then money, Maimer, to the other Yevama, to the other widow. Or Maimer Achar Get, where he gave a get to one, and then Maimer to the second. Let's just go over, because we might have reversed. Number one was he first gave money to one widow and then a divorce document to the second one, or vice versa, gave money to the first widow and a get to the second. A third example, the get acharbia umaimer. That would be the order of events here is get after bia and maimer, means he did bia. He did Maimer to a first widow. Let's say there are three widows. And he gave money to the first. He had relations, intimacy with the second widow. And he gave a divorce document to a third widow. Or another example, the fourth example, is Maimer Achar Bi'ah V'Get, meaning he had given a divorce document to one widow, intimacy with a second, and give money to the third. Now, in all of these cases, Rav Gamliel concedes that they take effect. And again, when we say take effect, that would mean that the relatives of the subsequent women are also going to be forbidden to the surviving brother. V'i misafko lei l'Rabban Gamliel. If Rabban Gamliel has an inherent doubt about the effectiveness of the get in releasing or pushing off, in divorcing, and he has doubt regarding the power of Maimer in acquiring, then Tehevei Kebio Delechatchila. Then why not view the intimacy that we saw in the middle? If you look back at examples 3 and 4, we had written in the order of events between the lines. So in example 3, money was given and then intimacy, which was followed by get. Now, if Rabban Gamliel entertains the possibility that Maimer, for example, is not Kone, or in the fourth example, that Get doesn't push away, that they're ineffective, so then the act that follows, in number 3, you saw that Bio followed the Maimer, and number 4, you saw that Bio followed the Get. Bio is the act of intimacy, the formal way of acquiring a Yevama. So, the Gemara is saying that if that analysis has validity, then Rav Gamliel should have viewed that act of intimacy in the middle of those events, in 3 and 4, he should have viewed the bia as a bia that's done at the outset, and the stage that follows it should have been of no significance. So that the third stage, in case number 3 we saw it was get, in case number 4 we saw it was Maimer, should have no effect. Deha tnan, after all, we have learned, habi'ilo b'zman shi b'tchila, when intimacy is at the first stage, ein acharei haklum, nothing takes effect afterwards. So the fact that Rabban Gamliel, in the source before, gave, let's say, power to the act following the intimacy in both examples 3 and 4, that shows us that Rabban Gamliel is not in doubt as far as like Rava presented. And now we go on with Abaye's explanation, number 2. Elo Omar Abaye, Li'oilom Pshito Lei L'Rabba Gamliel Beget D'Dochi U'Maymer D'Koni. Now, you should note that we have a new marking on the side under the Mivneh heading, Havlotas Rabban Gamliel V'Rabbanon Behesbeiro Shel Abaye. Within Abaye's long explanation, we will see the names, the Shitas of Rabban Gamliel and the Rabbanon highlighted. And of course, we didn't mention at the beginning of today's shiur, but everyone realizes at this point that we're simply continuing with the topics that we've been dealing with in our recent shiurim, the machlokes that we saw back in the Mishnah between Rabban Gamliel and the Rabbanon in the effectiveness of get achar get or maimer achar maimer, as was featured in the Mishnah at the beginning of our parak on Daf Nun Omer Aleph. So Abaye tells us that as far as Rabban Gamliel is concerned, it's pshitolei beget didochi umaymer dekoni umiu omer rabbonon. However, now if, let's just go for the point that needs clarification. If it's obvious to Rabban Gamliel that get pushes away the avoma, that means would, let's say, cancel the yibum relationship, and maimer, it's obvious that it acquires the avoma, so then why is the get done to the second widow, or the maimer given to the second widow, of any effect? So he goes on to explain, mihu omer rabbonon ha yavoma b'chad tzad mahani bo get u'b'chad tzad mahani bo maimer. The Gemara will go on to explain and elaborate on what Abaye means by that. Bear in mind that Rabban Gamliel is of the opinion ein get achar get and ein maimer achar maimer. So when it comes to get achar get, the Gemara explains, lo dochi, the second get doesn't have any pushing away effect with regard to the second widow. The hadocha leikamo, the first get did all the pushing away that was possible. Umaymer achar maimer, lo koni, the second maimer act of acquisition done has no effect of acquisition. The koni leikamo, whatever acquisition powers existed were used up, so to speak, with the first widow. Get achar maimer, umaymer achar haget. These are examples that we saw in the source where Rabban Gamliel conceded that there is effect, where you had maimer done to the first widow and then a divorce document given to the second widow, or the other way around, first a divorce document given to the first widow and money given to the second widow. Hai milsa kodochi v'hai milsa kokoni. In the example of the get following maimer, so there was no pushing away power used up with the first widow, so there was room for the second get, for the get that means in the second position where it followed maimer, if that get had push away power, and likewise the other way around, where get was given to the first widow and then maimer was used for the first time on the second widow, there was no acquisition power that was used up with regard to the first widow, so all acquisition power that existed was focused on the second widow in that case. Therefore, it's effective. V'rabbonon, now, what's Shitas Rabbonon? They argued with Rabban Gamliel and said, yesh get achar get, and yesh maimer achar maimer. V'rabbonon, they focus on, we'll say, the recipients in this case. Kochad v'chad takinu le rabbono get umaymer biyavoma. So if we're going to use the example of two widows, so with regard to the first widow, there's a takona of get, as well as the second widow has her own takona of get. Same thing with the maimer. The first widow has a provision for her to be acquired rabbinically through money, and the second widow also has such a provision. So that even though he gave a get to the first widow, that doesn't push away the second widow at all. And when he gives the get to the second widow, that's her being pushed away. Money given to the first widow acquires the first widow, but that doesn't tell us anything about what happens when you give money to the second widow. And therefore, money given to the second widow also has acquisition effect, causing eventually her relatives to be prohibited to the Yavam. We continue in the Gemara. Notice, though, with the markings, we have a semicolon, and also wrote in between the lines that which Rashi points out, that the Gemara now continues with a comment within the sheet of Rav Gamliel. V'hai bia psula, and we can see this together in the Rashi by looking under the Gemara text on the first wide line. V'hai bia psula, klomar. L'hochi omar Gamliel yesh get achar bia shachar maimer. We wrote in the order of events. Maimer was done to the first widow, intimacy with the second widow, and then following the intimacy, get given to the third widow. How is it that Rav Gamliel says that there is a get after the Maimer and Bia were done? And likewise, V'yesh Maimer Achar Bia V'get. And Maimer can be effective in a third position after a get and Bia were done with the first two widows. Daha Bia Emsoi Sheep Sula. When you look at the middle act in both of those cases, these cases, by the way, were in the Tanaic source we had at the upper part of the page, examples 3 and 4, Bia in the middle position, that's called Bia Psula. And the term Bia Psula, we've seen in the past, it's intimacy with the Yavama, but it's ineffective in acquiring, because we'll say Yibum powers were diluted, were minimized by something having preceded the act of intimacy. So we now continue in the Gemara with the comment. V'hai bia psula adifa mimaimer ugria mimaimer. The bia psula is stronger than maimer and is weaker than maimer. Adifa mimaimer. Bia psula is stronger than maimer. Dilu maimer acha maimer lo mahani. According to Amliel, a maimer that follows maimer, that second maimer is of no effectiveness. V'ilu bia acha maimer mahani. This trapezoid shape that we see is highlighting the idea of bia psula, where maimer precedes bia, so the bia is called a weakened bia. Money was given to the first widow, and intimacy with the second widow. That intimacy has effectiveness. It has to be dealt with. It takes some level of effect, so that bia following maimer is of some note according to Rav Gamliel, whereas Mimer following Mimer, the second Mimer, is of no effect. Ugriya mi Mimer. Now Bia Psula is weaker than Mimer. De'ilu Mimer achar haget koni lukule shira de get. When you have the order of events where get is done to the first widow and Mimer done to the second widow, the Mimer acquires all that was left over by the get. We explained the get given to a Yavama is a weak type of instrument, so that even though it pushes away the Yavama, there's some, we'll say, zika, there's some yibum acquisition still available. So that when Mimer follows a get, the Mimer acquires whatever was left over by the get. Whatever the get didn't accomplish in pushing away, that maimer that follows the get is effective in acquiring. Vilu bia achar haget, where a divorce document is given to one, And then that's followed by Bia. Lo kanya le lekule shiura de get. It doesn't acquire everything that was left over by the get. And what practical bearing does that have? If there's a third Yevoma, after get were given to the first and Bia done to the second, there's room for Maimer to be done with the third. This would not be the case if after a get, Maimer was done, and then with a third Yevoma, Maimer would be done. It wouldn't be effective at all. And we can take a look at Rashi on the third line under the Gemara text. Ugriyomi Maimer, Dilu Maimer Achar HaGet, Konei Lei Lekulei Shiur DeGet, where Get is done to one, and then Maimer done to the second. The Maimer acquires Kol Mashi Shiur Get LeMaimer Ve'ein Maimer Acher Mo'il Klum Acharov. If Maimer is done after that to a third widow, it wouldn't have any effect. If he would then, after doing Maimer to the second widow, which had followed a get, Maimer done to the third widow would have no effect. That's in accordance with Ramliel's teaching that Maimer does not follow Maimer. And at that point, that Ein Maimer Achar Maimer doesn't matter if the second Maimer was a one that followed get and then Maimer, or it was simply a Maimer that followed a Maimer. Ein Maimer Achrov, there is no Maimer that follows Maimer. Velo polug bein shoya Maimer rishon betchila bein shoya achar haget, making no distinction whether the first Maimer was following a get, or it was a Maimer that was preceded by nothing. The second Maimer has no effect. Midalokotoni, from the fact that it doesn't say Modo Ramliel Sheish Maimer Achar Maimer Uget. It doesn't say that Ramliel acknowledges some type of weakness in a Maimer that had followed a get. Ugriya mi Maimer, we continue in the Gemara, where we're noting that Bia Psula is weaker than Maimer, the Ilu Maimer Achar Haget. If you have Maimer that follows get, Koni lekule shiura deget. The Maimer acquires whatever had been left over by the get given to the first widow. Ve'ilu bia achar haget. However, bia that follows the get, that's an example of a bia psula, lo kanyo le lekule shiura deget. It doesn't acquire everything that was left over after the get. And as we mentioned before, that means that if a Maimer were to follow that Bia, it would have some effect. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source in which some markings appear. There's a triangle, and on the side, the triangle with a squiggle underline is explained. Ketzad Oma Ragumliel Ein Get Achar Get Ein Maimer Achar Maimer. We've been using these examples as we were going through the Gemara, but here is a Tanaic source that presents the examples in a textual sense. Ketzad Omer Ramliel Ein Get Achar Get. What does Ramliel mean, or what's an example of Ein Get Achar Get, that a second get is of no effect as it follows a first get? Example: Shtei Yevomos Shenoflu Lefnei Yevom Echad. Reuven and Shimon were brothers. Reuven died, leaving two Yevamas, two widows, to be dealt with by the Yevam, by Shimon, his surviving brother. V'nosan get lezu, v'get lezu. And Shimon, the surviving brother, gives a divorce document to widow number one of Reuven and widow number two of Reuven. Rabbi Amliel Omer, Choleitz lo rishona, v'osir b'krobosel. He is expected to do chalitza with the first one. And with that chalitza, with that act of release, the shoe removal ceremony done with her, he now, the Shimon, the surviving brother, is rendered prohibited to all of her relatives, her sister, her mother, etc. Umutur bekrovos shnia. He can marry the relatives of the second woman. And this is a function of the get that had been given to her was of no effect. Rashi, in the wide lines, almost halfway down, Rashi says, Choletz l'rishona, v'kol shekein de'icholatz l'shnia have chalitza ma'al yisa. All the more so if he had done chalitza with the second woman, in other words, the second one to have received the get, bearing in mind that her get was of no effect, and therefore she is considered a true Yevama. And if you would do chalitza with her, that's not even a diluted chalitza. It's a great chalitza, lifturi kamaisa, to free the first one who had received the get to marry whomever she wants. The came on to get the shnia ain't no get, since the get given to the second woman is of no import. Chalitza dido mal yusahi. The chalitza done with her is all the better. Hello, eitza toiva shminon. The Rabbi Gamliel here is giving us an eitza toiva. Shelo yesor atzma bekrovo shnia, by doing chalitza with the first one to receive the get, and the second yet having been no effect. So what that enables the Yavam to do is to marry at some time the relatives of the second widow. Shim Yachlo Tzla, if he, after having given the get to widow number one, does chalitza with widow number two, Nimsa Zu Grusha, so the first woman is his divorcee, Vizu Chalutzaso, and this one is the one who had received chalitza with him, V'Osir Bekrovos Shtehen, and that would render them both, the relatives of both of them, forbidden to Shimon. So, by Rabbi Gamliel in this text, in this source, saying Choletz l'Rishona, he's giving us advice that with the chalitza done with the first woman to receive the get, that finishes off the job. He's also to her relatives. Umutur, we go back to the text where we dashed under the line. It says Umutur b'krovos shnia, and he remains mutter to the relatives of the second woman. Because that second woman, though she received the get, Rabbi Gamliel holds ain't get achar get, and that second divorce document has no effect, and therefore her relatives remain mutter to Shimon. V'chachomim oimrim, we continue in the Tanaic source. The chachomim say, nosan get lezuv, get lezuv, he gave a get to widow number one and widow number two, aser b'krovos shtehen. He is forbidden to the relatives of both of those women. V'chalitza la'achas mehen. And he's expected to do chalitza with one of them. V'chein ato oimer b'shnei yivmim v'yavama achas. The same model applies if upon Reuven's death there was one widow left and two brothers that survived, Shimon and Levi. What after Shimon's actions of giving a get or doing maimer, so Levi's actions would, according to Amliel, for example, have no effect if he replicates the actions done by Shimon. And the Chachamim would continue saying that Levi's actions would have an effect. Ketzad Omar Amliel, ein maimer achar maimer. Up till now, you notice we squiggle underline ein get achar get. Here, we want to explain what does Rabbi Gamliel mean, or give us an example of ein maimer achar maimer. The same scenario where Shimon, the surviving brother, is confronting two widows. The also maimer bezu, and the surviving brother Shimon gives money to widow number one of Reuven and widow number two. Rabban Gamliel Omer, no sin get lo rishona v'choletz lo v'osir b'krovos seha. The way to release the women is by his giving a divorce document to the first woman. The divorce document undoes the whatever acquisition effect was accomplished by the money, and the chalitza removes the yibum bond. And with that having been done, he becomes usher to her relatives. In other words, he, after giving the get, of course, that already created an isser. She was the first one to receive the get. And the solution, as we said, actually, just repeat ourselves, correct ourselves. This, the get spoken of here was after he had given Maimer to the first woman. The get undoes the Maimer, as we said, and the Chalitza releases her, and he is also to her relatives. Umutu b'krovel shnia, the second woman to have received the Maimer, Rabbi Gamliel holds, is nothing, and therefore he remains mutter to her relatives. The Chachamim Omrim, no saying get, l'shtehen. After all, the Chachamim hold that each Maimer was effective, so the acquisition accomplished by each Maimer has to be undone by a get given to both of them. The Osir B'Krovos Shtehen, and he is Osir to the relatives of both of those women. The Chalitza L'Achas Mehen, Chalitza is necessary, but only with one of them. Chalitza done with one releases the other. V'chein ata oimer b'shnei yivmin v'yavoma achas. And you would say, likewise, with regard to a case where Reuven died leaving two brothers and only one widow. The Rashi says, in the middle of the wide lines under the Gemara text, v'chein ata oimer b'shnei yivmin v'yavoma achas. Nosan ze get veze get. Here in this Rashi is going on the statement made right before the second triangle, and the same thing would apply with regard to where the first Yavam gave Maimer to the widow, and the second Yavam gave also Maimer to her. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Rabban Gamliel will tell you Choletz lo Rishon Vasheni. Mutter b'krovos. Sel divrei chachamim shneim asur b'krovos. Let's continue now in the Gemara. Omar Mar. Here we quote from that which was said earlier in the source we just completed. Use the arrow on the side of the Gemara text to navigate. No saying get lazu v'get lazu. Rav Gamliel Omer Cholitz Rishona, the Osir B'Krovos Seha, Umutir B'Krovos Shnia. Now, this approach taken by Gamliel, where he says Cholitz L'Rishona, after he gave a get to each one of the widows, especially the get given to the second widow, we said, according to Gamliel, is ineffective. Rav Gamliel says that you do Chalitza with the first widow, and you are forbidden to her relatives, and Mutter B'Krov L'Shnia, the second one's relatives remain Mutter. So, Le'motevei Tufta de Shmuel, and we have a marking on the side under the Mivneh heading, we indicate these are Nisyonos, these are attempts, L'Avi Tufta Adivrei Amoroyim, to refute statements made by Amoroyim based on quotes from Tanaic sources, from the Tanoim. So in this source, we seem to have a position taken, in this case by Rav Gamliel, that would be against that of Shmuel. Now Shmuel is an Amora. This is not a good situation for an Amora to have a Tanaic authority standing against him. Well, what did Shmuel say? De'omar Shmuel, cholatz lebalas haget, lo niftara tzora. If a man had given a get to one of two Yevomis, and then he does Chalitza with her, the Chalitza done with her does not release the co-wife. The reason for that being that Chalitza done with a woman who already received the get, it's a case of a Chalitza that couldn't have led to Yibum. In other words, you're doing chalitza with a woman you could not marry because you already gave her a get. That's a chalitza psula, a weakened type chalitza. And according to Shmuel, a weakened type chalitza does not release the second widow, the co-wife. According to Rabban Gamliel, he had said you do chalitza with the first one, and that's all that's needed to be done. The tzora is released, and but he says you can actually marry the relatives of that second tzora because you're not doing anything with her, according to Amliel. You're not doing chalitza with her. According to Shmuel, though, chalitza done with the woman that received the get is not effective in releasing the tzar. You're going to have to do a chalitza with her as well, and hence her relatives will become forbidden. So is this not in effect a position running counter to Shmuel? Omar loch Shmuel, ki amri ano, when I said what I did, that chalitza done with balas again is ineffective, aliba demand Omar yesh zika. This is according to the opinion that says there is a connection between the yavam and the widows. Ramliel sofar ein zika, but Ramliel is of the opinion there is no connection. And we spoke about connection. Of course there's a connection, but the issue is, does the connection have any halachic power? So now let us take a look at Rashi. The second line from the bottom, yesh zika, alimo zikasa, it's strong. Velo poka zika shlemo ela b'chalitza ma'al yisaf. A strong, or a zika that has strength, cannot be undone unless a full-powered, full-fledged chalitza is used. Therefore, when chalitza is done with a woman that already received the get, it's a weakened type of chalitza. It cannot undo the strong zika, the strong bond that remains between the yavam and the second widow. Rabban Gamliel, however, represents a position that says ein zika. And since the bond isn't strong, so a minor type chalitza is enough to release both women. So that there's no confrontation between Shmuel and Leo. Simply Shmuel is saying what he does within the context of the opinion that says yesh zika. But according to the other school of thought, ein zika, Shmuel never made his comment. We continue. Umida Rabban Gamliel Savar Ein Zika, according to what we just said in the Gemara, Rabban Gamliel represents a position that there is no connection. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Rabbanon Sabri Yesh Zika. The Rabbanon take the opinion that there is a connection. The Katani Seifa. The Chain Ata Oimer B'Shnei Yivmin V'Yavoma Achas. So let's again bear in mind the Rabbanon represent the opinion Yesh Zika. That means when Reuven dies and he leaves, in this case we'll say two brothers, Shimon and Levi. Shimon has a connection to the widow of Reuven, and Levi has a connection. The Rabbanon said, in that case, you do chalitza with one of them, and that is enough. We're dealing with a case of a weakened chalitza. Why is it a weakened chalitza? It's a chalitza done with a woman that had received a get. It's a case of chalitza done with a woman that at the point you did the chalitza, you couldn't have gone the yibum route. You couldn't have married her because you had already given her a get. That's a weakened chalitza. The Rabbanan say the weakened chalitza is enough. Lemo tehevei tiufto de rabo ba rabhuna oma rav. De oma rabo ba rabhuna oma rav. Chalitza psula tzricha lachzor al kol ho'achin. That when chalitza is done to a woman after she received the get, it's not effective with regard to the others. So in our example, let's just go over the case again. Reuven died leaving a widow. Shimon and Levi were surviving brothers. Shimon gave the widow a get, and according to the Rabbanon, Shimon can do chalitza with her, and that's all that's necessary. What does Rabba Bar Avuna say under those circumstances? That if Shimon did chalitza with her, and we said that's a weakened chalitza, Sri Chalasa Kolachin, she, the widow of Reuven, is still going to have chalitza from Levi, the other surviving brother. The Rabbanon didn't say like that, so is it not so that our Tanaic source with the Shitas HaRabbonin in it is a refutation of Rabbo Bar Rabbuna in the name of Rav? Omar Loch Rabbo Bar Rabbuna. Rabbo will answer, Bein L'Rabbu Mil, Bein L'Rabbonin Savri, both Rabbo and L'Rabbonin hold Ein Zikon. Not like we said at the outset that being that Rav Gamliel says Ein Zikon, so by necessity the Rabbonin hold Yesh Zikon. Not so. The Rabbon, Rav Gamliel, and the Rabbonin all fit into one school of thought regarding this matter of connection, namely Ein Zikon, and therefore the Chalitza that you do with one of them is enough because there is no connection with the second one. The Hacha, here in the Tanaic source where Rav Gamliel argue with the Rabbonin, Begeda Hargeru Maimer Achar Maimer Komifligi. Their machlokus is limited to the issue of a second action that replicates the first action and what its effectiveness is. But they don't get involved with a machlokus concerning Yesh or Ein Zika. Rabbo Bar Rabbuna on the other, Rabbo Bar Rabbuna on the other hand, in the name of Rav, was saying what he did according to another school of thought that holds Yesh Zika. Hence, within the school of thought that says Ein Zika, so Rabbo Bar Rabbuna would have conceded that the Yavama, the surviving widow, does not have to receive Chalitza from the other brothers. We continue in the Gemara with a new section of analysis, and that's why you see a slash mark. Omar Mor, also Maimer Bezu, Umaimer Bezu. Reuven died leaving two widows, and Shimon gives money to widow number one and gives money to widow number two. Rabban Miloimer, no, you say get lo Rishon of a Cholitzla in order to solve this problem. The Shimon is expected to give a divorce document to undo the Maimer, and then he does Chalitza to release her to marry anyone she wants. The Osu B'Krovosel, he cannot marry her relatives. Umutu B'Krovos Shmiya, he is allowed to marry the relatives of the second woman. Michti, let's look into this position. Kosova Rabban Gamliel Ein Maimer Achar Maimer. That a second mimer following on the heels of a first mimer is of no effect. If the second mimer is of no effect, Rishoyno Nami Tisyabein. After the first woman received the mimer, why doesn't he just go all the way and do Yibum with her? The Gemara says, in truth, or technically speaking, that could have been done. However, the Rabbana don't want that to be done. Gzeira Dilma Osi Livumi Lashnia. We're afraid that if Yibum is an option, he might choose to do Yibum with the second woman, and that would be a problem. Because then you're doing Yibum with a co-wife of a woman that already received Mimer. And that, in on a rabbinic level, would be like as if you're building two houses. This is a concept that we've introduced in the past, which is based on Gzeiras HaKosov, where we say Bayis Echad Boinu Velo Shnei Batim. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Here we have again a new trend of thought. Rabbi Yochanan says that there are a list of Rabbanon, five rabbis, Rabban Gamliel, Ubei Shammai, Rabbi Shimon, Uben Azai, Rabbi Nechemio, Kuhu, Svira Lahu. They are all of the mindset, Mimer, Kine, Kinyan, Gomor. That Mimer, money given to a Yavama, is a significant act. The Tosfos at the very top points out, when we say Kuhu, Svira Lahu, Ein Hatanoim Kulan Shavim. The Tanoim that we're about to see in this list, they're not all the same. They're not all saying the same thing. And he explains, to the Beis Shammai Kinyan Midoraisa, according to Beis Shammai, money given to Yavama is an effective kinyan on a Torah level, Kinyan Mashper Dalad Achim, as was inferred or understood in the Perek Dalet Achim back on Daf Chof Tes. According to the other Tanoim, it's not Kone on a Torah level, rather on a rabbinic level. And it goes on with each one of the Tanoim, how they each one says something specific to them. However, as we said, the point is there's a theme here that they all hold that Maimer is considered an effective kinyan. Exactly on what level or what ramifications that has, each one has their own point to say. So now we go back into the Gemara. Rava on Gamliel, Chol Damoran. Now here we have we numbered off the rabbis 1 through 5, and now we continue the numbering scheme where we circle the numbers and that matches the numbers in the original list. So Rav Gamliel said, Ein Maimer Achar Maimer. Why does the second Maimer have no effect? Because the first Maimer acquires everything that is there to be acquired. So that we see that the first act of Maimer is considered strong. It precludes any further Maimers from being done. Number 2, Beishamai Disnan. Shloisha Achin, a case we have 3 brothers. We have a little diagram to illustrate this, and this should not be something new to all of us who have been learning since the beginning of the Masichta. These are examples the likes of which we've seen in the past. So you have here Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And now on our chart we have numbers that indicate the order of events. You see on the chart, Reuven and Shimon are married to Leah and Rachel respectively, 2 sisters. That's, as the Gemara text says, Shloish Achim Shneimen Nesun Meshte Achoyos Ve'echod Mufne. Mufne means Levi, in our case, is unmarried. Meis Echod Mibale Achoyos. Let us say, Reuven died. He is the husband of one of the sisters that his brother is married to, the other one. The Osaba Mufne Maimer, and stage number 2, after Reuven dies, Levi gives money to the widow, to Leah. The Acha Kachmes Ochiv Hasheni, and then Shimon dies, and her sister, and the sister of Leah, namely Rachel, becomes a Yevoma. Beishamai Omrim Ishto Imo. Beishamai says that Leah stays with Levi, even though all that Levi had done with her is give her money. He didn't have actual relations, intimacy with her. Nevertheless, Beishamai says Levi stays with her. Vahalozu takes a mishum achos isha, and the other one, Rachel, leaves the scene based on her being the sister of Levi's wife. A person cannot marry 2 sisters. Levi having done Maimer with Leah, in Beishamai's opinion, it's considered like a full-fledged marriage, and Rachel is out of the picture. She is the sister of Levi's wife at this point. So by Beishamai saying that Rachel leaves, even without Chalitza, that shows us that what Levi did with Leah was a full-fledged kinyan. And we saw before, Tosfos made reference to the point that Beishamai holds that it works on a Torah level. Number 3, Rabbi Shimon Desanyo, Rabbi Shimon, who is also of the opinion that Maimer is Koine Kinyan Gomor, Omar Lohem Rabbi Shimon Lachachomen. Rabbi Shimon addresses the Chachamim, and we should maybe just a word of background. Rashi fills us in with this. We're talking about a 9-year-old surviving brother. He's a Yavam. His brother died, leaving a widow, and there are 2, maybe they're twins, they're 2 9-year-old brothers that survive. Let's just say, with that background in mind, we also should glance at the Rashi. Rashi is a few lines up from here. Omar Lehem Rabbi Shimon Lekamla BePerek Isha Rabba. Later in the Perek, known by the name HaIsha Rabba, Ben Teisha Shonav V'Yamechon Abal Yivinto. Reuven died, leaving 2 brothers, each one 9 years old. The first one has relations. We should maybe say a word about a 9-year-old. In the eyes of halacha, the intimacy done by a 9-year-old is of, let's say, partial consequence. So he does biyah with the widow. V'chazar ubo achiv ben teisha shana v'mechon olel. And the second brother then has intimacy with her. Psula al yodo. She is not fit through him. The biyah ben teisha shana kemaymer shivrabbonan. The biyah of a 9-year-old has the strength of maymer. V'havilei maymer achar maymer. And what we just illustrated was the intimacy done by 2 9-year-old boys. It's tantamount to maimer achar maimer. Umekudeshes af l'sheni uposlo af al harishon kirabonan. According to the Rabbonan, the maimer done with the second woman, and in this case the bias bentesha, is effective. Because they hold the Amri Yesh Maimer Acha Maimer. Rav Shimon Omer Lo Posla. Rabbi Shimon says that the second Biyah does not create any psul, any prohibition between the Yavoma and his relatives. In other words, or let's say her relatives to the second boy. Intimacy done by the second boy would be considered maimer achar maimer, and according to Rav Shimon, it's of no effect. So that second boy eventually can marry her relatives. Now we go back to the Gemara text. Omar lohem Rabbi Shimon lechachomim. Rabbi Shimon says to the chachomim, who had said where the second bias ben teisha passes her relatives to that second brother. Rav Shimon says, "In bias rishon biyah, if the intimacy of the first one is of significance, bias sheni eino biyah. The intimacy of the second one with her should have no effect. In bias rishon eino biyah, bias sheni nami eino biyah. And if the intimacy of the first one is of no import, neither should be that of the second one." The ha bias ben teisha, the kamaimu shivu rabbanon, the intimacy of a 9-year-old is equal to maimer according to rabbinic authorities. The ka'omar Rabbi Shimon eino biyah, and Rabbi Shimon is saying is that the biyah of the second one is of no consequence. Why? Because the biyah done by the first one, and in your mind's eye, the biyah of a ben teisha is the equivalent of maimer, was a full kinyan, leaving no room for the second bias ben teisha / maimer to have any effect. So we see that Rabbi Shimon is of that same school of thought. As Abaye, as Rabbi Yochanan said, maimer kinyan kinyan gomer. In this last example, we were speaking about the bias ben teisha, which is the equivalent of maimer. Number 4, Ben Azai, Desanyo. Ben Azai Oimer. Now we didn't point out by way of markings, but the double underline that you see here highlights the names, the shittas that we saw in the list given by Rabbi Yochanan. Ben Azai Oimer Yesh Maimer Achar Maimer Vishne Yivmin Vivoma Achas Vihein Maimer Achar Maimer Vishte Yivomos Viyavom Echad. Ben Azai splits whereas in the source we saw in Amud Aleph, this split is not made. He says that there is Maimer Acha Maimer when you have two men, two brothers, and one widow. Each man was given Maimer power vis-a-vis the woman. However, Ein Maimer Acha Maimer, and this is what's of importance for us right now, when you have only one surviving brother, Shimon survived his brother Reuven leaving two widows. Once Shimon does Maimer with the first one, it does a full kinyan, leaving no room for the second Maimer to take effect. Hence, Benazai also has as part of his thinking that Maimer is Koine Kinyan Gomor. Rabbi Nechemya, number 5, Disnan, Rabbi Nechemya Oimer, Achas Bila, Viachas Chalitza, whether it's Bia or Chalitza, Bein Betchila, Bein Beemsa, Bein Besof, Ein Acharel Klum. Following Bia or Chalitza, wherever it appears in the list of actions done, that which follows will have no effect. V'hah Bia Psula, when we speak about, let us say, Bia in the middle of events. And now we've discussed this before in today's shir as well, that if, let us say, there were a couple of Yevamos, a couple of widows, and he had done get with one, the Bia that follows is a Bia that doesn't acquire. That's an example of a Bia Psula. And yet, the according to Rabbi Nechemya, an action done after that will have no effect. So Bia Psula, as the Gemara says, it might be a weakened form, it's a weak Bia, nevertheless, it's considered like Mimer. And Rabbi Nechemya says that following the Bia Psula, nothing takes effect. So that if, let us say, there were 3 Yevamos left by Reuven, and Shimon does gives a get to one and does Bia with the second one, Mimer done to the third widow would have no effect, because the Bia Psula that was done doesn't leave any room for anything to follow. So we see an illustration of Bia Psula slash Mimer being Kainan Kinyan Gomor, according to Rabbi Nechemya, being that there is no room for anything else to follow. If we go back to the Mishnah Daf Nun Omen Aleph, on the 6th line of the Mishnah, so this is a quote from there, Ketzad also Mimer. Now this Ketzad, if you look back in the Mishnah, is coming on the heels of information that preceded it. When reading the Mishnah, you might notice that the Ketzad, which generally speaking is an introduction of an illustration, words or a comment designed to illustrate that which immediately preceded it. But when you learn the Mishnah there on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, the Ketzad doesn't do that. So that's what gives rise to the Gemara's point. So the Gemara here at the bottom of Amud Beis quotes Ketzad also Mimer, etc. We continue at the top of Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, and we ask in a tone of Tmiha, "Hi, get achar get who? Is this an example of a get following a get?" When you read the when you had read the Mishnah there on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, just prior to the Ketzad expression, the Chachomim had said Yesh Get Achar Get, Yesh Maimer Achar Maimer, Avolo Achar Bila, Avolo Achar Chalitza Klum, and then Ketzad. The Ketzad you would expect that to illustrate that which the Chachomim said of Yesh Get Achar Get. But when you read on in the Mishnah Daf Nun Amud Aleph, it goes on to describe a case of is having done Mimer with the Yavoma and then gives her a get. That doesn't illustrate that which preceded it in the Mishnah text. Hence the Gemara's question now is this really an example of get achar get? This is rather, the Ketzad gives you a case of a get following Mimer. Omar Rav Yehuda, Hochi Ka'omar. So Rav Yehuda provides an explanation of what the Mishnah's intent was. Get achar get, u'maimer achar maimer, kide'amoran. And here's a very unusual situation. Kide'amoran means as was explained in the Braisa on Daf Nun Aleph Omid Aleph. Namely, the Mishnah doesn't attempt to illustrate an example of get achar get or Maimer Achar Maimer. The illustration of those appeared in the Braisa on Daf Nun Aleph Amen Aleph. However, the Ketzad of the Mishnah comes to deal with a case of Yavam Echad V'Yavama Achas. When you have Shimon, a sole brother, a single brother, surviving his deceased brother Reuven. Reuven leaving a single widow, one widow, not multiple widows. Ketzad mitzvas hatorasan. How is the release of this kind of situation to be accomplished? Also, Maimer Bivento, if Shimon had given money to the widow of Reuven, the Nosan law get, and he had given her a divorce document, Sricha Heimenu Chalitza, Shimon will still need to do Chalitza with her. So the Ketzad of the Mishnah is coming to explain that situation. Even though it doesn't come on the heels of that which appeared in the Mishnah text immediately before the Ketzad, nevertheless, Rav Yehuda in our Gemara here is explaining what the role of the Ketzad is, and that is to explain what happens when you have one Yavam and one Yavama, and he had done Maimer with her, what needs to be done after that. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.